from KQED.
Efrain Pacheco can't recall exactly when the voices began, partly because he thought everyone heard them.
One day I asked my dad if he was hearing a voice in his head too, that he would talk with and have a conversation and that would fight with him and stuff. He said no. That's when I got a little scared.
Pacheco is 21. He lives in San Diego, where he works part-time for his father's landscaping business. And for the last few years, he's been on Risperdal, an antipsychotic drug, which may give him that slightly flat affect you hear when he talks. He hears the voice in his head less often now, but it still bothers him.
It either tells me to get out, not be lazy, or go to sleep.
What's your reaction to it?
I tell it to be quiet, because I don't want to hear it.
And are you usually speaking aloud?
No, now I try to do it in my head because I don't want people to hear me.
When you talk to people with schizophrenia, you start to notice certain similarities in how they describe these voices.
They hear people commenting about them. They hear people being terribly mean.
This is Tanya Lerman, an anthropologist at Stanford University who has interviewed people with schizophrenia in Chicago and in the Bay Area.
They hear people saying, "You're stupid. She thinks she's going to walk across the street right now. What's she thinking?"
Lerman wanted to know, are the voices in other cultures always so harsh? So in 2011, she went to Accra in Ghana and Chennai in India, places where the word schizophrenia is used much less often. And she asked the people there, what did the voices sound like to you?
On average, the voices were less assaultive. They were less violent. People were more likely to say that they knew who was talking.
Lerman emphasizes that she is speaking in broad strokes here. Her results, published in a psychiatry journal in June, are based on small samples, about 20 people in each country. But generally speaking, there are clear cultural differences between how people describe their voices.
If in America, voices are violent, assaultive, and distressing, and a sign that you're crazy, in Accra, voices are the voice of God. And in Chennai, voices are relatives who tell you to clean up and do chores.
To Lerman and to others, this suggests something very intriguing about schizophrenia and the nature of the hallucinations that it can cause.
That the way that you imagine the voice changes the kind of voice you experience.
Change the way you think about the disease, and maybe you change the disease itself. In recent years, a movement has grown up around this idea. It's the Hearing Voices Network, a loosely knit group with 50 or so chapters here in the States. And broadly speaking, they say that if you could strip away some of the stigma and the fear around schizophrenia, people who have the disease might actually benefit from the voices that they hear. Will Hall says that's what happened to him. Today, he's a consultant who lives in Portland, Oregon. But in 1999, Hall was living in San Francisco, diagnosed with schizophrenia and convinced by the voices inside his head that the shootings at Columbine High School had been entirely his fault.
Very strong voices saying, look at what you've done. You're screwed up. You're worthless. You can't do anything. You've got to just stay away from people. You're responsible for this.
Hall was hospitalized, put on antipsychotic drugs. But over the years, he weaned himself off of them. In 2007, he wrote a book that teaches other people how to do the same. He says that when he got off the drugs and started listening to the voice, he recognized it. It was a voice from childhood, dredged up by his subconscious. It was telling him things he needed to hear.
If I hadn't taken that step to listen to that voice and try and understand it, I wouldn't have been able to weave it back into my life history and my life story.
Hall says he still hears voices sometimes, but they've changed.
They come to me as if someone were holding me. They say to me that you're a good person. You'll make it through this. You can survive this.
So could this work for other people? I asked Rachel Lowy, a psychologist at UC San Francisco. She said she was open to it, but researchers haven't really studied this yet. She needs more than just anecdotal evidence.
So I can't recommend to a patient that they try this approach if I have no idea what the success rates are.
What has been studied, says Lowy, are the risks of coming off medications.
Someone can go from hearing a few voices to being really delusional, having lots of problems with functioning, and then needing to be rehospitalized. And that's not an outcome anybody really wants.
It may be a very fine line, she says, between retaining some connection to the real world and having none at all. Cross that line, and it may be hard to come back. I'm Amy Standen, KQED News.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, the David B. Gold Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Cabsonell Foundation.